The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
This morning, we're talking about sustainability and how it's a really hot topic right now. You talk about global warming. In fact, here in the studio, it's kind of like global warming because it's so cold. Gosh, I'm freezing. But if you're queuing up for breakfast right now, or if you're planning lunch or dinner and it's going to be takeout, here are some shocking statistics for you to think about. According to the National Geographic, it's estimated that 18 billion pounds of plastic enters the world's oceans every year. That's expected to double in the next 10 years, and you should really Google photos of the island of plastic that's floating in the Pacific Ocean. Here in Asia, it's even worse because we produce half of the world's plastics, more specifically in Southeast Asia. According to reports, China, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam creating more plastic ocean waste than the rest of the world combined. By the year 2050, there will be more plastic in oceans than fish by weight. In Singapore, researchers found that people go through 2.2 million straws a day. And if you put that into context, that's enough to cover Singapore's coastline twice over. Not really good. I mean, there seems to be some kind of a disconnect with what people are saying, what people are actually doing. You hear people talking a lot about, you know, what we should do to save the environment. Are they really doing it? Well, Green is the New Black. It's the organizer behind the first ever Asian-centric annual consensus festival. And it also acts as an online platform for people who want to live more consciously by improving the way they live, the way they work, consume, and travel while doing more good in the world. Their mission, simply put, is to make sustainability sexy. We have with us in the studio Stephanie Dixon, founder and editor-in-chief of Green is the New Black. She'll tell us more about what we as individuals and companies can do. Stephanie, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Don't mind the global warming cold situation we're having in the studio today. I don't know why it's so cold. I think they're trying to preserve us. Before you founded Green is the New Black, before you were the chief editor, what was Stephanie like before this? I understand it's been 5 years now. You're involved in sustainability, but what were you doing prior?
So I actually used to work in fashion in Asia. So I used to plan fashion festivals around the region. And I really loved my job. I, you know, was very much a fashionista. I would order clothes every month and be on all the trends and everything like that. And I really didn't know any better at that time. But okay. I started the slippery slope of watching documentaries and opening my eyes finally after 4 years in the industry and discovered that fashion was one of the most polluting industries in the world and also one of the most socially corrupt. And at the time, it really hit me like a ton of bricks. I felt really blindsided that I'd been working in this industry and I had no real understanding of what was actually going on behind the scenes. So when I discovered all of that, I basically couldn't continue to do what I was doing and I basically quit my job with no real plan and started discovering more about sustainability and figuring out how I could be part of the solution and use my skill set to actually empower more people to wake up as well like I had been woken up.
So it was really all about watching documentaries as opposed to someone really nagging you about it. Who introduced you to this first documentary that changed or that started you going down this path? Or was it just an accident?
So it was part of Fashion Revolution.
Right,
so
okay.
I discovered that's a global movement. They have a chapter here in Singapore. And it was around that time, you know, that I think when you start opening your eyes, things just kind of appear all of a sudden. It's like, oh, wow, has this been around me the whole time? And I haven't even noticed. So it was kind of a few subliminal things that were happening. And then eventually I watched the documentary and then I was like, okay, I really need to do something about this.
So here in Singapore, right, only, well, at least that's what research says, only 60% of us are recycling regularly. There's still no charge for plastic bags if you go to like supermarkets and whatnot. A lot of F&B outlets still offer plastic straws. Unfortunately, you know, people still take it out of convenience. Part of your mission is to encourage people to make, you know, these simple and easy on the wallet changes. How are you at Green is the New Black? How do you change this mindset? How do you change the habits, really?
Yeah, it's such a great question and such a loaded one as well, because I think especially living somewhere like Singapore, convenience and having the modern life and access to everything all the time is just part of our lives. And you just get really used to that and then it becomes your normal. But I think at Green is the New Black, we really focus on this idea idea of little green steps.
Okay.
So we just want people to move, to take small little changes every day and work towards it. Because then if you're moving along that, then you really are on the journey of sustainability and you're able to make these small switches. So, for example, if the plastic issue and all those crazy stats, if that affects someone, then they should absolutely start saying no to plastic straws when they're ordering a drink. Mm. You know, that's just one simple step and you're sending a message to the restaurant, you're sending a message to the people you're sitting eating with, and you can start to, you know, reduce that 2.2 million straws that we're going through a day in Singapore. Yeah. So I think collectively, that's where we see a lot of power, and that's why we focus on this breaking it down and making it easy for people, because sustainability can be really easy, it can be really convenient. We just need to switch our mindset a little bit and change a little bit of our habits. And so that's where the power of taking little steps really comes in.
I'm a typical Singaporean. I say you just fine everyone. No, but that doesn't work. You're a nicer person than me. But what I find, I think, really should also be addressed is, like, I think the government's done really well in providing these blue recycle bins at a lot of estates, right? But what I find, and personally, I use plastic, and I like to recycle it, I find that people use these recycle bins wrongly. The wrong things are being thrown in there, and that's a problem. You don't throw in your, and you know, if you're going to recycle, the intention is good. I put in my plastic box, but food is still in there. You got to at least throw it out, right?
Yeah, so there is a massive issue with contamination with the blue bins here. I think it's around 40% of everything that goes in ends up being contaminated, because there is a lack of awareness and a lack of education, I think, around what can and can't be recycled and the process that needs to go around with that. Having said that, I think, you know, they're doing a lot to relabel the bins at the moment to make it really clear for people, like, these are the things that you can recycle, these are the things you cannot, and you do need to rinse your items.
Sure.
And there are other groups in Singapore as well that, you know, are really a lot more transparent about where the recycling goes and really help you along that journey. And so, yeah, there are other options as well that people can consider. But I think it's really just about educating and maybe just helping your neighbors as well. You know, if you see people when you're at the bins, you can also have a conversation. Be like, by the way, we should be rinsing our items so that we don't contaminate everything else.
Yeah, because you're throwing it in the bin as well. And I feel that if you can actually see a whole stack of emptied plastic boxes and in, you know, before you throw yours, you're kind of pressured to, oh, wait a minute, that's the right way to do it. That could be one way. Stephanie Dixon, founder and editor-in-chief of Green is the New Black, in the studio with me. We're talking about sustainability. A team of scientists at the Center for Climate Research Singapore recently calculated that by the year 2045, temperatures could be as high as 40 degrees Celsius in a worst-case scenario if the world continues to emit greenhouse gases at a rate that, well, if they're taking it as business as usual. As a business yourself, Stephanie, what steps do you take to be a zero waste company? What examples can we follow from you?
So we don't believe that anyone can be truly zero waste. So we talk about being almost zero waste.
Reduce, right?
Yeah, reduction is one of the key things that everybody needs to really focus on right now.
Sure.
It should be the first step that we go to, you know, reducing, refusing, and then recycling. But as a festival, so our Conscious Festival, we really work to be as low waste as we possibly can. So those events happen every year in Singapore and in Hong Kong. And we have around 4,000 people coming over 2 days. We have around 80 brands that we're working with. So we, every year, year on year, we've kind of gone through our own sustainability journey. We take our own little green steps, but the focus on getting as low waste as possible is part of this idea that we want to have as little impact as possible as well.
Okay.
And where we can, we really are working to offset as much of the carbon emissions for the whole festival as a whole during that process as well. So it really just means looking, you know, taking that time to actually look at all the elements of an event and break it down, or even in your office as well, you can do this, to think about what are the unnecessary things that we're doing? Mm. Where can we use reusables? Where can we use materials that can actually fully be recycled and make sure that they're going to the right places for that to happen? And really just, you know, looking at all the unnecessary and cutting it down so that it's easier, cleaner, and people also know what they're doing. So at the events, you know, we have composting for food, we have recycling bins if we don't have many things that need to go in there, but they're still available. And then we really cut down on all the unnecessary items, and we do a lot of upcycling. So you can do a lot of upcycling of props or reusing of items. And I think those are just a few really easy things to think about.
You have been described as a sustainability entrepreneur. I'm sorry to have to ask you this, but how do you at Green is the New Black make money? How do you do that? How do you sustain yourselves, really?
Yes, it's a great question. So we have a few different revenue streams that we're looking at. So for our conscious festivals, we work with partners who help us make it possible. And basically the vendors that join us pay a fee to be there.
Okay.
That allows us to keep the festival free because we don't want to put a barrier between people wanting to learn about sustainability. Mm. So we keep our access to the event free. And then further to that, we have a membership program. So we basically work with social enterprises as well as large scale events, restaurants and offices to help them to greener their operations and to communicate their sustainability journeys.
Okay.
So basically we have a Green Steps program where we have different, about 50 different steps that restaurants, hotels, large-scale events, and offices can take to become more sustainable. And once they've stretched and they've reached some of the goals that we've set with together, we'll create some communication around that and be able to communicate the great work that they're doing. So we're a very positive platform, and we really want to communicate the good that's happening in the world. But for some companies, we need them to stretch a little bit and to actually commit to goals and to have made change, and then we can have a bigger impact collectively.
I like that. You create a 50-step program, so it makes things a lot simple. I just follow these steps and I get there. So with regard to these hotels, restaurants, or large-scale events, you kind of function like a consultancy in that sense, and then a PR agency to spread the word that they've done well, something like that?
I don't like the C word. I don't like the word consultant. So it's more, I think, a little advisory, but it's pretty hands-off in a sense. So we would come and do a workshop, then they would get the program, they would implement it, you know, we'd connect them. We see ourselves more as a connecting platform.
Okay.
So we connect them with the, you know, suppliers and people that can actually implement the solutions with them, and then we communicate that with our audience. So again, connecting them to conscious consumers who actually, you know, care about these kind of things as well.
Help me visualize a little bit. Any chance you could give one or two examples of these hotels that you've worked with and how they've progressed while you were advising them in that sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hotels are big machines, so they actually, it's a lot slower, the change that we're able to make with them, and it's a lot more long-term. But they've made commitments, you know, like reducing plastic straws or having straws on request policies, also looking at other things like better solutions for simple things like umbrella covers, plastic umbrella covers, so looking at different things like that. But we're able at the moment to see a lot more progress faster with restaurants. So we've been working with the Super Loco Group here, maybe into one of their amazing Mexican restaurants. So we've been working with them, and they've now actually got a whole section on their website, literally listing out all the steps that they've taken. And it's been really amazing what they've done in the last 6 months. Mm. So they're reducing, you know, they've got filtered water now to reduce the amount of glass and plastic and water bottles that they've had. They've, you know, reduced plastic straws. They're looking at more vegetarian, vegan options on the restaurant. They're looking at offsetting parts of the operations as well. So it's all the information's there, and it's really exciting to see the kind of commitment that they've put in to roll that out across their 5 outlets in Singapore.
Stephanie, you've been running your conscious festivals annually in Singapore since 2015 and Hong Kong since 2017. These are completely vegan and zero waste, or as little waste as possible. It's not possible to be zero waste, right? Could you share more about the objectives of these events?
Basically, we have two main components of the events. There's a marketplace where we have brands from fashion, beauty, lifestyle, and F&B. And they're all really, you know, very conscious in the way that they do their business. So they're, you know, looking at social aspects, they're looking at the environmental aspects, and they're really doing a lot of good in the world. And then we have, you know, a lot of vegan food, because we really want to show people that vegan food can be absolutely delicious and you feel great and healthy when you eat it. So we're not trying to convert everyone to be vegan, but we're just trying to open the minds up a little bit to be like, hey, this great food exists. It's better for you. It's better for the planet. And if you can just, you know, reduce meat and dairy a little bit, then you're part of, you know, you're part of that solution.
Sure.
Then we have a series of talks. So we bring together around 50 speakers from Singapore or Hong Kong, around the region, and sometimes around the world. And we're really looking at a few different components there. So looking at how we live consciously, and that's really looking at ourselves, because, you know, we think that conscious living starts from within. Mm. But then we dive into work, and that's a really interesting track on one of our most popular, where we can look at how to be more sustainable with the work that people are doing, how to be more sustainable in the office, and how to find your purpose at work as well, which is a big thing that a lot of people grapple with. And then we look at consumption, so, you know, how we can consume better, how we can reduce our consumption, and now this year we're doing a track on fashion as well.
Do you ever find, Stephanie, that you have a lot of people who are very conscious about, you know, living better when they're at home, when they're in their personal lives, and then they go to work and they kind of start to take it for granted because not everyone is like that, and it's just go with the crowd, especially here in a stressful environment like Singapore.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so funny sometimes because people can be so sustainable and conscious in their actions, and then they go to the office and everything just goes out the window for that, you know, 12 hours or 10 hours that they're in the office. So I think, you know, I do see a lot of that, but at the same time, I've seen a lot of movement now to create green groups within offices, and that's super exciting. So there's individuals that are really passionate and they don't want to have those two different lives. So they're actually, you know, galvanizing their team, and they're actually putting into place sustainability initiatives, and we want to support those people more. So I think it is great, and people are now very serious about this, and they do want it to be part of their work life as well.
Stephanie Dixon, founder and editor-in-chief of Green is the New Black, in the studio with me. Final question for you, Stephanie. Our colleagues at The Finder awarded you Most Green Business at the Expatpreneur Awards. What does it mean to you to be recognized in this manner?
It was really amazing. You know, it's very humbling when those kind of things happen. Yeah. And I guess for a long time as an entrepreneur, you're just kind of working away, just get your stuff done. And then all of a sudden, you know, something like that happens. You're like, oh, wow. Okay. So people have noticed all the hard work, and it is a lovely thing to be recognized like that. So we were very humbled and very excited. And yeah, it was just a great moment for the team.
Does it help the brand, or have you seen it help the brand or have a positive effect on the brand in any way?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of just gives you that external validation, which, you know, is always a lovely thing. But I think we're still continuing to do the work that we're doing. So I can't say if it's had a direct impact or anything like that. But I think it's more just nice for the team to celebrate.
Well, the fight never ends. Stephanie Dixon, founder and editor-in-chief of Green is the New Black, in the studio with me this morning. Stephanie, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.